Oh, you all have a good week? Yeah? All right, good. I got a 10-pager here for you today. I woke up and I said to Marianne, I'm like, what should I wear today? What shirt should I wear? She said, well, according to your sermon, you better wear a fun shirt because it's a pretty heavy sermon today. Hawaiian shirt. Oh, that was supposed to be a joke. Okay. Well, I really did ask her that. Okay, anyways. Today I want to talk about something very important for every Christian on the face of this earth. What I'm going to talk about today could keep Christians from backsliding, come on, into the pits of hell and the lake of fire for eternity. Because how many know hell is real? The lake of fire is real, amen? Jesus gave us some very strict warnings and things to look out for in our life as a Christian. The title of my message is simply this today, Last Day Warnings. Last Day Warnings. The Word of God is very clear that we are living in the last days. Now, some people think that the last days began when Jesus was ascended into heaven and boom, the last days kicked off, or when the Holy Spirit was given in the upper room, right? And then some say, no, the last days started with a major biblical prophecy from 1948, which is when Israel became a state. But listen, quit arguing about that, right? It's a non-salvation issue. Whatever you believe, it doesn't matter because guess what? We are years and years beyond both of those things that happened. So you could say it this way. We are in the last of the last days right now. Amen? And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back soon. Now, the rapture or the catching away, the snatching away of faithful Christians, I don't know if you know this or not, but it could happen at any time. It could happen at any time. According to some theologians, they say that, now, when we talk about the rapture, Christians have three different beliefs. Go figure, right? Three different. Well, there's always three of every, right? There's always something different than Christians. There's always divisions. When we talk about the rapture, there are three different beliefs about the rapture in connection to the Great Tribulation or the timing of it. Now, I'm not teaching on or talking about the rapture this morning to sort that issue out of those three. But I do want to tell you this. Christians, these are the three things that Christians believe about the rapture. Christians believe the rapture will happen either before the Great Tribulation, which is pre-trib. Some believe that it'll happen in the middle of the tribulation, mid-trib. And then some people think it's going to happen at the end of the Great Tribulation, post-trib. Are you confused yet? But I'm just saying, so, you know, as you go along in your walk with the Lord, you're going to hear someone say pre, mid, or post, all right? Just be prepared for that. Get into the Word and find out for yourself, right? Whatever you believe about the rapture, it is going to happen. And Jesus Christ is also coming back to this earth. They are two separate events. Say two separate events. Now, Jesus talked about the signs that would be happening before his second coming, his return. Let's take a look at what Jesus said would happen. There are, by the way, I do got to say this. There really are no signs that need to take place before the rapture happens. Did you know that? There's no more. There's no signs that have to take place. So y'all, come on, y'all. Y'all got to keep your oil to the top. Amen? The 10 virgins? Come on, somebody. Amen? So keep your lamp full of oil. Now, for some, this might be the first time hearing this. Some of you are like, oh, okay, Matthew 24, right? Here he goes, right? But you got to remember, people who are in this place, they're maybe new Christians, people that are watching or listening online, maybe this is the first time they're ever going to hear this, right? But how many of you know it's always good for us to be reminded of these signs? Go to Matthew 24, verses 3 through 14, I want to take a look at real quick here. You're going to want to pay attention to this whole sermon because really the meat of this sermon happens toward the end. All right, so neighbor, if you see your neighbor falling asleep, wake him up. Come on, someone. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him, to Jesus, privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumor of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, for preaching and believing in Jesus. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness or rebellion will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Say endures. Endures. Doesn't sound like once saved, always saved to me, does it to you? Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. After the disciples asked Jesus what the signs would be of his second coming, the first words out of Jesus' mouth were this, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no one deceives you. Deception is and will be running wild in these last days. Come on, last of the last days. And even well-meaning Christians, come on, will be deceived if they don't take heed or pay attention to what's going on to them and who's speaking into their life. Come on, somebody. Listen to this. The definition of deceive is this, to believe something that's not true. To believe something that's not true. Now, that one is for the one being deceived. And then it goes on to say, in order to gain some personal advantage. That's the one doing the deceiving. Are you following me? So it's believing something that's not true. And the one doing the deceiving, it's for personal gain, okay? The kingdom of darkness is desperately trying to get Christians to believe something that's not true because they not only hate you, they hate God as well. They hate the creator and they hate his creation. Have you figured that out yet? If they can negatively affect and influence, come on, your belief system in your heart, they can knock you outside of the will of God and cause you not to be used to advance the kingdom of God. They want to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's why Jesus said, you better take heed. He's telling Christians, he's telling believers that. He's not saying that to the unbeliever. He's saying it to the ones who believe. So you don't believe something that's not true. The enemy is trying to destroy God's creation and his most prized possession. Do you know what that is? Humans that are made in his image. All right? The enemy is accomplishing that mission by using people to do it for them. Demons are influencing people to deceive and to destroy people. The enemy, demonic spirits, Satan, they can't do anything to you. Come on. Unless it's through someone. You know that, right? So they use people to do that. Jesus said that people would come in his name, meaning some will claim to be Jesus, say, I'm the Christ. And then someone would claim that they would be anointed and sent by God. Come on. To preach a false gospel message, to preach something in the word that's twisted, come on, and come on, just like in the prophetic word today, and to release false prophetic words. No one in Living Waters Chapel, I'm not talking about them here. Come on, somebody. I'm serious. I'm not picking on anyone in here. I mean that. So don't feel like I'm picking. But listen, you'll see as I go on here how this ties in. Jesus said many would be deceived. And that's why we need to know the Word of God for ourselves and have that close, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit on this earth. Why? So we can have discernment on who is a true prophet, who is a false prophet. Jesus said that we would hear of wars and rumors of wars. Guess what? It's happening. Nation would rise against nation. Guess what? It's happening. There would be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Guess what? That's happening. By the way, did you guys see there's been several earthquakes in New York City and New Jersey? Kind of odd, isn't it? Various places. Pestilences, sicknesses, and diseases. Now, think about this. Who would have thought that some of those pestilences and diseases would be spread by evil governments on this earth? Hello, somebody. Well, that definitely happens. Well, you know what happened with COVID, right? And who knows what, come on. Who knows what other pestilences have evil governments released? Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. No. It's reality. Did you know, listen to this, why would they do that, right? My dad always say, well, why would they do that? Well, you want to know why? Evil people and corrupt governments do it for population control. There's nutcases that believe that there's too many people on this earth right now. So they gotta cut that down. So they send out diseases and pestilences and all of these things. And it's a power trip. It's a power game. Amen. Money, the love of money is the root of all evil. They put things in food that causes diseases even. And it's population control, right? After all, the healthcare industry makes a whole lot of money. It's a business, right? I mean, do they really have it in their benefit to come up with a cure for a disease and release it to the public? Come on, somebody. Listen, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love and idolatry of money will influence people and very evil and wicked to do very wicked and evil things against humanity. Jesus said that all those things he mentioned, he said, those are just the beginning of sorrows. They're just the beginning. But wait, there's more, right? Jesus went on to say another sign of his coming is that people would kill Christians because of hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that they'll even do it thinking that they're doing God's service, it says somewhere else. That's happening that happens all around the world even. But it's going to get worse. Many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Jesus goes on to say after that, listen to this. And so he lists all those things. And then he says this. He says, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. So if something grows cold, it means it must have been hot at one time. It grew cold. It was a process of growing cold. They once walked in love, but they now are not walking in love. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He's talking to this is happening in the church, in the body of believers. Meaning love was active, now it's inactive. That's what hot and cold is talking about. Now, I want you to notice that living a life of hate will open you up to spiritual deception. And walking in love will protect you from falling into spiritual deception. Because, and I said, why? Why, Holy Ghost? And these are the words that came to me. Ready for this? He said, because love stays correctable and teachable. Love, when you're in love, you stay correctable and you stay teachable. And hate does not, because hate's wrapped up in pride. Living a life of hate in your heart will open you up to a spirit of confusion, and it will cause you to wander outside of the will of God for your life. So we walk in forgiveness, not for the other person. It's for you. It's for you, so you don't wander outside of the will of God. Many Christians are drunk, come on hatred for others. Did you hear what I said? Many Christians are drunk on hatred for others. It will make your spiritual vision blurry. It will even spiritually blind you. It will make you say and do many things that you'll look back and say, what was I doing? Why? Because you did it drunk. Are you following me? You did it drunk on that hatred. Do you like my shirt this morning? Isn't it fun? Isn't it a happy shirt? Here we go. I'm going to continue. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9 real quick here. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. So this passage here gives more clarity and understanding. It adds to Matthew 24 of what Jesus began to say would happen in the last days. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men, or people, will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. So, like I said, this passage gives us more clarity, goes a little bit deeper of what Jesus said would happen in the last days, all right? In the last days, it says perilous times will come. Well, that's great, right? But what does perilous mean? It'd kind of help us out a little. Perilous is defined as this: to be full of danger or risk. Perilous is defined as full of danger or risk. Or are you ready for this? A moral decline. Say moral decline. Anybody notice any moral declines going on this earth? Yeah? These last days are not for weak and cowardly Christians. We need to be strong. We need to be alert. We need to be sober and remain faithful to God and His word no matter what comes our way. Look at some of these characteristics that will be common in these perilous times or in this time that we're in, moral decline. Look at this. Let's look at them here. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. You know what the word blaspheme means? It means this: to speak irreverently about God and sacred things. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. A whole bunch of kids just went, we moved on from that one. Here we go, but you get the message, people, right, kids? Unthankful. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Look at this one. Ready? Slanderers. Say slanderers. Slanderers. Here's what slander means. Are you ready for this? To murder someone's character with lies. To murder someone's character with lies. Huh, come on, somebody. The key word there is with lies. When you're telling the truth about protecting a flock, come on, somebody. It's protection. Oh, come on. Nice shirt, isn't it? Thank you. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, meaning no loyalty, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, holiness. Come on, somebody. So the Holy Spirit said to tell you guys this: take that whole list and do the opposite of those things and you'll be good. Take the opposite of each and every one of those and you'll be good. And then it goes on to say, it says, from such people, it says, turn away. Don't have these people with these character traits within your inner circle. Why? Because it will negatively influence your life. The Bible's very clear about that. It goes on to say that people, it literally says, of this sort, or people with this with these negative characteristics, it even went on to say, look at this, creep into households. They slither their way in, creep into households and make captives of gullible women. I'm not going to stop there. Oh, some of you are chuckling about that. Oh, okay, never mind. Just kidding. Well, back in the day, you know, more women had more time to sit around and gossip. Oh, my wife laughs at it. So it's okay to say. Okay, listen. Listen. Anyways, gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts or desires, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These corrupt people, listen to this is what it's saying, okay? Because that can even happen to men too, by the way. Come on. Amen. Listen, anybody. So it's not a gender thing here, okay? Listen, these corrupt people are looking for others, come on, that are easy to influence. They are spiritual predators. They are wolves looking for people to destroy and to pull them down with them. Are you following me? This is why Jesus gave us the warning to not be deceived, but rather to take heed, pay attention, be alert on what's going on around you. Come on. And who's speaking into your life. Now, go with me to Acts 20, 25 through 31. I lost a whole bunch of women on that one. Don't do that to me. Wait, I didn't say it was in the Word. Come on. Thank you for that. I know, isn't it nice? Nice shirt. Okay, great. Stick with me here. Because this message is going to equip a lot of people to not be deceived and to fall into a trap of the enemy. Acts 20, 25 through 31. The Apostle Paul was getting ready to depart and leave a big group of Christians, mainly leaders, okay, in the city of Ephesus here. The Holy Spirit put a message and a warning for Christians on Paul's heart to share with them. And for us now, obviously, for all Christians. But look at this. Acts 20, 25 through 31. This is powerful. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. So Paul's saying, this is the last time, this is my final goodbye. What does he say to them? Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed. There's that message again. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to the shepherd of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. You might want to underline that. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with tears. He said, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, meaning to other Christians around you. You gotta remember this. Pastors and even us, we're our brother's keeper, aren't we? Right? Right? We are protecting Jesus' investment, the church. Are you following me? We're protecting Jesus' investment that he purchased with his own blood. So I don't know about you, but I take that job pretty seriously. Yeah. Amen? Paul said he knew after his departure from that city, the enemy, no doubt about it, the enemy would send and infiltrate the church with savage wolves that would not spare the flock. In other words, everyone was going to be a target of their spiritual poison, whoever they could get their hand on to destroy the work of God. And then Paul says that from among themselves, within the flock itself, people would rise up speaking perverse things, twisting the gospel message, telling lies, come on, sowing division for this main reason. This was the reason they were doing it. Are you ready? Here it is, to draw away disciples after themselves. That was the purpose, to draw them away, to pull those individuals out. This is really what it comes down to pull people out of the will of God, drawing them to themselves. Listen to this. A wolf within a local church is not just someone that will twist the word of God, but it's also someone that will sow division within a church to draw people to themselves, away from where God has planted those individuals. Are you still awake out there? Listen, since pastoring, like my whole pastoring, west side, east side, whatever, right? I can think of a handful of times when people came into the churches that I pastored and they were wolves. They were either wolves, they came in with it, or they turned into a wolf. And guess what? Hands down, it always started with this. They would meet and they would give a sob story about how leaders treated them bad. Are you following me? They gave a sob story how everybody treated them bad. So, you know, kind Pastor James, we'll give you a shot. You know what? We're going to do it. Instead of getting reference from those past pastors. Are you following me? So, you know, you give them a shot. And then it was downhill from there. It started with them sowing lies about people within the church, sowing lies about leadership, sowing lies about me. They're trying, you know, about in people's minds. Are you still with me today? Yeah. Listen to me. And it was pure deception at work. That's how church splits happen, by the way. Wolves get in within a church and they try to pit leadership against one another. They try to pit you against him. They try to, are you following me? You know, you can even let someone teach a class in a church, you know, and several people started telling me, you know, because Pastor James kind-hearted. Let's give them a chance. They had a rough time, right? Let's see, you know. And then all of a sudden, several people, different times, would start coming to me and say, this person's talking trash about you in the church. Really? Wow. That's interesting. Isn't this a nice shirt? nice hair? You like my hair. I love it. But again, they gave a sob story about their past rejection among leaders. You gave them a chance, and they ended up burning a bridge with me. And really, you know what? The class turned into this, a fundraising and recruiting people to their own church and ministry. Are you following me right now? Talk about a major betrayal. Listen, let me just say this. Most Christians, they don't know the depth of betrayal and spiritual warfare that leaders in a church deal with. They don't, all right? And because here's why. Because the pastors, one of my jobs is here is this, to protect the flock from all the drama that's going on behind the scenes. Are you following me? Until it becomes more infiltrated within the flock. You think I'm going to let someone continue to teach a class while they're talking trash about me in the church? You think I'm stupid? And so the pastor is trying to protect the flock from that drama because you don't need to see that. You don't need to until it becomes more infiltrated in the flock, and then it needs to be addressed publicly to shine light in the darkness, right? See, when truth or light has to be shined on that to disinfect that spiritual junk. The enemy hates when his works of darkness are exposed by the light. Look, let me just say this, okay? I don't care if someone, if you attend this church and the Holy Ghost says, hey, I want you to go start a church. I don't care. God bless you. Go start a church. Go start a ministry. I hope it goes great. Just don't leave here in a demonic way. Sowing division and trying to rip up and tear a church, especially a pastor that was being kind to you. Are you following me? Wolves, most of the time, show up in sheep's clothing, you know, acting overly sweet, complimenting you to your face. It's all a cover. It's a show to get into the loop. Now, let me just say this. Not everyone that's being nice is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Don't be paranoid. But you'll feel something on the inside like, something don't feel right. Something's a little fake about this. Come on. They show up in sheep's clothing to hide their true corrupt motives for being there in the first place. Again, some start out pure and then they turn into a wolf later because of bitterness, because of failed expectations. I wanted this position. You didn't give it to me. Rah. You following me? The sheep's clothing on wolves gets removed when you confront them or when they know that you sense it. When they start to get a clue that you're onto it, their attitude starts to shift. It becomes a little bit more in your face now. Not everyone that makes a mistake is a wolf. Hello? I'm talking about people that have an evil motive to really sow division, divide a church, and lead people astray spiritually. And listen to what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Listen to this. A ministry or a church that is formed or started by someone due to evil motives, such as trying to draw people, you know, to their church by slandering the pastor or leaders or the people in the church, lies about people, causing division, whatever. The Holy Spirit said this, that church or ministry is not approved or authorized by the Holy Spirit. Think about that. It's not authorized. It doesn't have, come on, it doesn't have his sign off on it. And if it doesn't have his sign off, I wouldn't want to be a part of it. Would you? No way. No way. You better make sure. Again, if someone wants to go, you know what? That's great. God bless you. Church on every street corner. But don't do it in a demonic way. Now, listen to this. As I was studying about this topic of spiritual wolves in churches, I found a teaching online, all right? And it gave 7 points or characteristics of a wolf in a church for you to discern, all right? It's an article by Charisma Magazine, and it was too good not to bring up the points. So I'm going to give you those 7 points, and I'm just adding just a little bit in there just so you can know. Why am I doing this? I'm not on some tirade crusade. I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to protect you. That's what I'm trying to do, from getting out of the will of God. Amen? So these points will equip you to be more on guard and recognize signs or fruit from a potential wolf within a local church or anywhere for that matter. How many of you know wolves just don't come to local churches? They're out and about everywhere, right? Especially the ones who've been caught. They won't step foot in another church, some of them. So they'll try to get you outside the four walls. Jesus said that we would know them by their fruit. Come on, not by their gifts. Let me say it again. That prophetic word. Jesus said that we would know them by their fruit, not by their gifts. That's why a wolf in sheep's clothing can be very deceiving at first, because you're judging them by their spiritual gifts and not by their fruit. Not by their character traits. Sheep's clothing means that they're faking to have good traits. But eventually the true heart gets exposed. All right, are you with me so far? And here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to observe fruit. You'll see the gifts immediately, but it takes a little time for you to see the true fruits of a person. Are you following me? So that's why sometimes when you see something, that's why maybe I don't act immediately on something. Listen to me. You give them a little rope. Did you hear what I said? You give them a little rope because you want, I want to make sure that I'm not just jumping the gun, that it's not just a mistake, that they're not having a bad day. Are you following me?
Yes.
You give them a little bit of time to observe. You see how they handle disagreements.
Yeah.
You see how they handle rules in our services. You give them a little bit of rope. And trust me, if there's a heart that's not in line with God, it will be revealed. The article starts off with this paragraph. Listen to me. It says, the Bible warns us to beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Yet, it also tells us that false prophets will increase in these last days. This tells me that we must learn to identify a wolf in sheep's clothing or a false prophet. It's not so that we can become judgmental or jaded. Did you hear me? But it's so that we can protect ourselves and other sheep around us. We must guard the sheep in our churches. We must protect the young believers. We must do what God commands us in Matthew 10:16. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Many believers fall into the trap of being mauled by wolves because, you got to write this down. Ready? Because they want to believe the best in people. I'm not encouraging people to believe the worst of others, but I do encourage people, come on, to be wise. So wolves are referred to as false prophets because they either twist or they pervert the word of God, ready? And or they try to draw you to themselves, okay? They were not sent by God, but rather they're sent by either their own evil fleshly desires or literally they're sent by a demon spirit. Are you following me? Are you ready? Ready for these seven? We're going to end it on this. Number one, wolves will have an issue or a problem with spiritual authority within a church. Wolves will have an issue or a problem with spiritual authority. You see, true prophets are not rebellious against God's delegated authority. They honor and they respect it. They recognize God's divine authority structure in the body of Christ as a whole and within a local church. A wolf will have no regard for boundaries, for guidelines, or rules that a spiritual leader puts into place in a local church or in a meeting. They're kind of like that, come on, that lone ranger. Oh, you're going to tell me what to do? Well, here, I'm going to do this, right? It's rebellion. A wolf has rebellion in their heart. They don't play by the rules. They're sneaky. They're slimy, going behind the leadership's back to sow division. Hello? Isn't this a great shirt? Number two, wolves will try to manipulate and control you. Wolves will try to manipulate and control you. Remember, they're trying to draw you to themselves. So that's why they're manipulating and controlling you. Wolves in sheep's clothing can be the nicest and sweetest people to your face if they know they can control you. I said if they know they can control you. They will even give you fake apologies if it means they will get back in. Are you following me? If they find out that if they can't control you, they find that out, they will resort to intimidation to get their way. Doggone it, I'm going to get my way, one way or another, either by talking sweet or intimidating you with witchcraft. Especially after they know that you're discerning something is off about them. The Holy Spirit, listen to me, the Holy Spirit doesn't control anyone. And anyone sent by God will not operate under a controlling and manipulative spirit. God, the Holy Spirit doesn't control anyone, and anyone sent by him will not operate in that spirit. Manipulation and control is witchcraft. It's a work of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. It's listed as a fruit of the flesh, right? A work of the flesh. It's a combination of the fleshly evil desires, and guess who wants to get incorporated in that? Demon spirits. Demon spirits operate through the works of the flesh. So quite often, listen to this. If you are under the influence of a wolf using manipulation and control over you, there will be a confusion. There will be an anxiety. There will be a fear. There just something just doesn't feel right every time you are around them or you talk to them. When you're around them, again, something just feels off. Why? Because you were not created by God to be controlled or manipulated by anyone. Amen? Amen. Number three, when wolves are in a fight, they go for blood. When wolves are in a fight, they go for... This means they will do anything possible to cause the maximum amount of damage, come on, and collateral damage in a local church or a ministry as they can, especially, again, after they've been exposed, when they see that their tactics aren't working. They will be ruthless, showing no compassion, no pity for anyone. All right? Keep in mind, this is a spiritual battle that we're in. Now, people use that as an excuse to let the person go. Listen to me. There are two sides to that. Because some people excuse a person's actions by saying, well, this is a spiritual battle, right? This is demons. But remember, even if there's an evil demonic influence as the root, that person is still giving into it. They know better. Are you following me? They know better. And guess what? That person, just as easily as they chose to go in a rebellious way, they can choose to go in the righteous way as well. It's that simple. It's just that they're not choosing not to. They're choosing not to. You still with me? But at the root, it is a spiritual battle, and there needs to be spiritual means that take place. And sometimes, unfortunately, there needs to be that public exposing of this thing. It stinks when that happens. But it has to happen, a public exposing of this thing or a rebuke, because guess what? Guess what? Are you ready? When it becomes public, when Pastor James starts walking before his sermon and telling about a situation, it's the last option. Are you following me? It's the very last. You think I want to do that right off the bat? No way. Not a chance. But when it starts to infiltrate, and I'm noticing people are kind of being affected by it. They're starting to pull away. They're starting to, what did Pastor, what's going on here? It's infiltrating the church. And now it's the last option. Now you pull out the nuclear codes. Now you pull them out. But it's for the protection of the flock. But it's the last option. Trust me, if it comes to that point, I've given months. Yay! Pastor James maybe even gave it over a year. And nothing ever changed. Number four, wolves will act one way around those they think matter and suddenly change behind closed doors. Again, this fits into the whole manipulation and control. They'll put on whatever mask they need to put on to get their way. It's all about getting their way. If they can't get the pastor, they'll work their way over and try to negatively influence another leader in the church. Come on, right? Here, a wolf, number one, smite the shepherd and the sheep scatter. Isn't that what the word says? So the first thing that a wolf tries to do is he tries to smite the shepherd, the big guy, the leader. Why? If he can get the leader, everybody else is going to go. No leadership, it's out. Are you following me? But if he sees, boy, this leader, he's kind of tough. He's not that gullible, right? Guess who they're going to go for now? They're going to go from the bottom up. They're going to start to sow division and lies among you guys. Are you following me? Number five. Article's points I'm bringing up here. I mentioned some of it, but these are the points. Number five, there is some rotten fruit in the life of a wolf. Pay attention. Pay attention to these things when you start to get discernment and see something or feel. I'm going to say feel. Sometimes you don't see at first, you feel. You got any feelers in here? You feel something ain't right. Something's off. What situations, ask yourself this about the person. What situations tend to follow that person? Are they constantly stirring up chaos and strife? Is there always some kind of drama in their life? Is there always some kind of that drama in their life? I mean, constantly. Do they constantly set you on edge emotionally when you're around them? Number six. Wolves, oh, this is a big one. You got to hear this one. Wolves are often accurate when operating in spiritual gifts. That's their pull, baby. That's their draw. That's their way to draw them to yourself. Wolves are often accurate when operating in spiritual gifts. Some of you are thinking, how is that possible? Here's how it's possible. Are you ready? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. We must steward the gifts and callings of God. Are you following me? That is why you don't judge someone if they're a wolf or not based on the accuracy or the frequency of their spiritual gifts in operation. That's why Jesus said these words. Are you ready? Many will come to me on that day and say, haven't we prophesied in your name? Cast out devils in your name. And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. They were flowing in the gifts. Come on, somebody. Why? Because they operated from a heart of rebellion from God and his word. Well, no, they were just in rebellion against the pastor. God put the pastor in place. It's a failure to understand spiritual authority structure. God is very structured in the kingdom. Amen? Some thought they were a friend of God, but in reality, they were an enemy of God because of their corrupt character and the rebellious motives of their heart. Don't let that be you. Amen? Just because someone gave you an accurate prophetic word or words with accurate words of knowledge does not mean they're sent from God. It does not mean that you owe them your loyalty. Do you know there's a thing out there called the spirit of divination? A demon of divination that comes in masquerades. Like, I got the word of knowledge. Oh, I'm prophetic. And it's to draw you away from your heavenly Father. Draw you away from the will of God for your life. Don't be naive. Pay attention to the fruit that's coming. Not the gifts. Don't pay attention to the gifts. Listen, God can speak through a donkey if he wants. Right? Some donkeys have more self-control than some Christians in their character. Are you following me? But that's how they draw you to themselves. They want, oh, here's a big one. Listen to this. They want you to feel less spiritual than them, so you will put them on a pedestal. And it's pride. They want you to follow them. I'm saying, now I'm in here. We got a great group of people in here. I'm not talking about any, I don't have anyone in mind with anybody in this room right now. Are you following me? I'm not talking about anybody in here. So wipe the sweat off the brow. But a wolf will make you feel less than. Wow, they're so spiritual. How can I ever attain? How can I ever attain to that? Are you following me? Don't bite that bait. Don't take that bait. Not all, here's number seven. We're going to end on this point. Not, and I said it a little while ago, but I'm going to give a little more on this. Not all wolves started out being wolves. Somewhere along the line, they became deceived. They became bewitched in their mind, in their thought life. They became reprobate. As the word says, right? They bought into the lie of pride that they are more important spiritually than they really are. How many of you know any of us could be replaced? Yeah. Anybody could be replaced. I could be replaced, right? Yeah. I could walk away from the church now. Guess what? You guys get another pastor and carry on with life. That, just keeping that in your mind will keep you humble. All of us can be replaced. But somewhere along the line, these individuals bought into the pride, the lie of pride that made them more important spiritually than what they are, even to the point of rebellion against God, rebellion against church leadership, where they have absolutely no authority within that local church. Thinking, as the Bible says, it says, thinking more highly of themselves than they ought. Thinking more highly than they ought. They gave in to that sin of pride. They believed a lie. And again, somewhere along that line, people, demonic spirits, they watered and they fed that lie within them that made them even, come on, more bold to fight against the will of God and the authority structure that God has set in place. You know, God is not pleased, listen to me, God is not pleased when we feed into and promote that activity of wolves in the body of Christ. Listen to me, we need to be starving the wolves. We need to be starving the wolves. Don't pump them up. Don't pump that pride up. Are you following me? Wolves need to be exposed. They need to be removed from that fellowship until they're ready to, you know, it depends. Depends how much damage they did, to be honest with you. Are you following me?
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, if someone does too much damage to this church, if they leave and they try to come back, I'll tell security, do not let them in this building. Are you following me right now?
Yes.
It all depends on how much damage they've done and what their attitude is. Well, that's hard, Pastor James. Well, guess what? Listen, this is a call, and this is a heavenly calling from God to take care of the flock.
Right?
Yeah. I'm not opening the gate to wolves in here.
Right.
I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. We must be alert and discerning for ourselves to warn others, call wolves out, expose them, because they are fighting against everything that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to give you. They're trying to pull you out of the will of God. They're an enemy to the will of God. They're an enemy to the flock of God. We are in a battle. We are in a very high level of spiritual warfare on this earth that's trying to get our attention, and it's trying to pull us away from the will of God. Do you understand that? That's the whole point of a false prophet. That's the whole point of a wolf in sheep's clothing. They're trying to pull you away from the will of God. They're trying to stop the power of God, the blessings of God, from coming into your life and from God using you to advance his kingdom. The enemy is going to use people to try to sow division between you and the will of God, but you must not allow that to happen. Church, we must be and remain sober, be vigilant to protect ourselves and others around us from the evil plots of the enemy, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon, amen? And get ready. We need to get ready. We need to be prepared. Because we are in the last of the last days. Let's stand up in this place. Last day warnings. Prayer team, come on forward. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. Today, the reality hits you that hell and the lake of fire, it's a real place. And let me just say this, the moment you take your last breath, it's game over. It's it. Your eternity must be determined before you take your last breath on this earth. If you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, don't even hesitate. Come to this altar and pray with one of the prayer team members this morning. Settle it, make it straight. And then guess what? You need to be strong in the Lord. Don't back down, amen? Don't cower. Don't forfeit the will of God for your life. Maybe there's someone in here, this message really hit home to you. I don't know, maybe you were affected by a wolf in sheep clothing. Maybe you were affected by a false prophet sometime in your life, and it's messed with you. It really messed with you. But today, you wanna come forward and just say, hey, this message really hit home. I wanna rededicate my life. And I want to be more discerning. I want to be more discerning of these things in my life, all right, as a Christian. If you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They'll pray with you to do that. You need prayer for a family member or anybody else, we'll be here for prayer. Marianne's going to give a couple announcements here. Hallelujah.
Woo! what a good message. What a lovely shirt, too, Pastor.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
No, it was a really good message. I always think his messages are good. So we are